Some of you may remember that a few weeks ago, I talked about having peace in our lives. How many could use a little peace in your life this morning? Yeah. You know, that's what we strive for. A lot of people won't admit to it. Perhaps it's something we buy at the mall, or I don't know, we find other avenues in search of peace. But I believe at the root of many of the things we do in our lives is to have peace, to have that peace which passes all understanding. And I believe that peace that goes beyond all human understanding can only come through a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. If you got Christ at the core of your life, that will be the foundation. That's what you can, who you can turn back to when you're going through those desperate trials, which I'm sure many of you have, and some of you may be going through a trial yourself this morning. You know, I believe we can create our own peace sometimes by the way we live our lives, by the things that we do. But I also believe sometimes we could create hell on earth for our lives. Seriously, we sometimes you can't always do the Flip Wilson thing and blame the devil. The devil is not in the details all the time. Sometimes that unrest that exists in our lives occurs through the words that we speak or the words that we receive by others. I want to ask you this question. When was the last time your mouth got you in trouble? Somebody said 5 minutes ago. And his wife said, amen. Yeah, our mouths could get us in trouble very quickly, and I know from personal experience. But how many remember this show when it was on TV, Art Linkletter, who was, he should be Saint Art. He reminds me of Mr. Rogers, that kind of personality, full of goodness. But he had a program, and Bill Cosby actually picked it up following Art Linkletter. But kids say the darndest things. And could you remember the parents sitting in the audience, and they would just shrink when their little darling son or daughter spoke what was on their mind? Well, I want to tell you that kids do say the darndest things. But so do adults. There should be a show, Adults Say the Darndest Things, because many times the things we say can get us in serious trouble. Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't? Did you see it leaving your mouth? You could see it, actually. You know, like I'll say something that I know I shouldn't have said. I engaged the brain with the mouth, but I didn't think it through. And I could see the words leaving my mouth, and I can't get them back. Many times, words will depart from our lips that we will regret. And I will tell you this, it's easy to spout off words, but it's not always easy to correct the damage as a result of what we say to others. My Jewish friends have a phrase for that. It's called oy vey. You know right away that you had an oy vey moment when you look at your spouse or your friend or your child or your parent's face and you go, oy vey, did I mess up? Now, on the flip side of it, that's when we speak words that leave and depart our mouth, as James is speaking of. But I wonder how many of you, and please don't raise your hands, how many of you have been the recipient of hurtful words? Where somebody has pricked your heart and hurt you emotionally and wounded you by the words that were constructed and departed from that person's mouth that were very hurtful. We all have. You know, words spoken by the tongue could build up or it could tear down. It could encourage somebody or it could discourage. Just the use, the formation of words out of our mouths could do this. It could build up tear down, encourage, discourage, heal, or wound another individual. There's enormous power in the tongue. Yesterday, it was this morning, our flight got in very late. I guess we landed about 1:30 in the morning. Maybe it was closer to 2. And at the baggage claim, there were no other planes coming in, and a young mother had lost her backpack and thought someone stole it. And she flipped out, screaming. And her son, who was about 8 years old, had it. And when she saw that he had it, she yanked it from him and called him all kinds of names. And that boy stood there, and I thought to myself, he thought he was doing the right thing, safeguarding his mom's backpack. And she stormed out the door and left him behind, and he trailed her. And I could just see how discouraged and dejected he was simply by the words that left her mouth toward that little boy, who thought he was doing the right thing, actually. And words can be very painful. How many remember Henny Youngman? You young folks don't remember Henny Youngman. He was a comedian, and he was funny. And he once said, I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, stick out your tongue. Now stick your head out the window. So I asked my doctor why. He said, I'm mad at my neighbor. You know, that's when humor was clean, and it was funny. It was funny. But you know what I found out from doctors? You ever notice when a doctor asks you to stick out your tongue and they examine your tongue? They could actually tell through your tongue if the rest of your body is healthy. And I thought to myself, boy, that translates so well to James' epistle, because many times the condition of our tongue could determine or reveal our spiritual health. People could see where we're at spiritually just by, James says, the way we use our tongue. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and it relates to what I just said about the tongue, revealing your condition. He says, for out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what's pent up inside of us, what's going on deep beneath that nobody can see, many times it'll be revealed by what we speak with our mouths. And Jesus himself says we need to be careful about that. Think of the thousands of words that we communicate every day. Most times we're very selective before we speak a word or two, but other times, and here's where we get in trouble, and this is where you got to take a deep breath. I think Alexander Hamilton says, before you speak, count to 100. Mark Twain says, count to 10 and then curse. He had a strange philosophy. But it's out of impulse. It's out of impulse. It's that impulsive speaking of words that often get us in trouble. It's when we're pent up with anger and we don't think it through, we don't calm down, we don't count to 10 or 100, and we just let it ride and we wind up getting ourselves in troubles. Sometimes our words are formed to encourage another, while other times they are formed to hurt another individual. And I think that's what James was trying to point at in the epistle that was read by Brenda. James reminds us about the importance of every word we speak. And you know what struck me? Not just James, but Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, listen to this. He tells us in Matthew chapter 12 that God records every word that comes out of our mouth. Could you imagine that? And he goes on to say that by our words we'll be justified and by our words we'll be condemned. And that's why earlier I said about confession. Sometimes we need to not only confess to God and say, you know what, I really messed up, but we ought to go to the person we hurt and confess as well and say, I'm sorry. Make it right, because that's what God is looking for. James writes, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is not at fault in his or her ways, he's a perfect man or woman, able to keep his whole body in check. We all stumble and fall. We all mess up.
probably on a daily basis. It's comforting to know that. But here's the warning I think James and Jesus gives us. Just because the Bible says that we're going to mess up doesn't mean we use that as an excuse. Have you ever noticed when somebody loses their temper, they always go back to Jesus cleaning out the temple? They don't talk about love. They don't talk about compassion. They don't talk, Jesus got mad and he turned over tables. That's what I did yesterday in the kitchen. It doesn't work. We've all stumbled. It's embarrassing. I'm a person of observation. My wife says my eyes are like a turret. I was in the airport and I'm always looking at human behavior, you know. And I'm looking for illustrations for my sermons, too, to be honest. I write them on the back of napkins, my boarding pass. That one time the woman at the gate took that pass. I said, you can't have it. I got a sermon illustration on. But one thing I noticed about, not all the time, but many times there's some differences between males and females. And one of the things, I noticed that if a woman trips over a crack in the sidewalk, she'll just look back and keep walking. If a guy trips, he starts running. As if he planned that trip. And he may run for a block until he's out of sight from anybody who saw him trip over that crack. And so I was thinking about stumbling. Guys sometimes stumble a little differently than the women, but it was just a funny observation that I made. It has nothing to do with my sermon, actually. Jesus said that our tongue reveals the condition of our heart, and it reveals the condition of our spirit. You know, without going into too much detail, James is basically saying that although the tongue is the smallest part of the body, he says it has a lot of power within it to destroy if we're not careful. And he gives all these illustrations. If you look at what Brenda read, a bit in a horse's mouth could take this huge beast and cause it to turn right or left, back up or go forward. Right, Helen? She's a horse person. A little bit in a horse's mouth. A small rudder on a ship. And my wife and I watched these huge cruise ships come into Key West. And you know, in comparison, the rudder on that ship is not very big compared to, but yet it causes it to turn. And it could maneuver the ship. And a small spark could cause a forest fire. The power of the tongue. Well, I had a forest fire thing there, but I didn't want you to see that one. Why I went to this one is, how many people could tell me who that is? Karen Carpenter. Who said that? Good. Good job. Oh, my friend from Sayville. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was a dynamic singing talent, and her name was Karen Carpenter, that beautiful woman that you see displayed on the screen. She joined up with her brother Richard, and she formed the group called the Carpenters. It was such a gentle and easy listening style of music. They were at the top of the music charts with songs like Close to You, We've Only Just Begun. Anybody know that song? Come on, let me hear it. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Well, in the early 80s, listen to this. A music critic referred to her in an article, Richard's Chubby Sister.
What?
Yes. 1970? He's a music historian. Thank you. Those three short words drove Karen to a life of anorexia, and it eventually killed her at the young age of 32. Richard's chubby sister. It broke her. Just that little sentence that somebody thought was really cute to write in his story destroyed a life, that beautiful face that you're looking at on the screen. My whole point, my friends, is this. It's sad. Words can be very destructive, and I think James's instruction to us is to be careful what you write. Folks, before you send that email, you ever write an impulsive email? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm don't send it. I've learned over the years, don't send it. Don't send that text. You know who's getting in trouble today? Youth. They're just tearing each other up on the internet. And I'm telling you guys, young people, don't do it, because we can hurt. It's a form of bullying, and I think it's very destructive. And even though this was written 2,000 years ago, it is just as relevant today as it was when James penned this letter. A little backroom chatter in the workplace, or even a little backroom chatter in a church for that matter. Not this church, it's the Lutherans, all right? My friends are Lutheran there, so I just, only kidding. But it's terrible when it happens, that little chatter goes on, and then you got the forest fire, it spreads around, we take it to be true and it's not, and all things happen. Listen to this. Set a guard over your mouth, O Lord, and keep a watch over the door of my lips. That is Psalm 141, verse 3. Look at that again. Lord, set a guard over my mouth and keep a watch over over the door of my lips. What a fantastic prayer. Lord, before I respond to my wife, please, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, before I open my mouth at this meeting, keep a watch over the door of my lips. Before I let this go, take a deep breath, count to 10, count to 100. Don't listen to Mark Twain and curse. Don't do that. But watch what you say. James doesn't necessarily say that we sin with our words, but he does say that our words can reveal a sinful nature in our beings. You know, we come to church, he talks about can fresh water come out of a saltwater source and so forth? No. It reveals who we are. And I've seen where people will leave church, not this church, it's the Lutherans. They'll leave worship and then curse somebody out on Sunrise Highway 10 minutes after fellowship hour. They haven't even digested their bagel yet. And they're shouting at somebody, be careful. We should carefully listen to ourselves and the words that we speak and determine if adjustments need to be made. Folks, we could all make adjustments. James is telling us that we could determine a tree by its fruit, and Jesus said the same thing in the Gospels. What are people seeing? Sometimes the greatest witness that we could give to people is not so much quoting scripture to them, but by the way we live our lives. They're watching how we live. What fruit are we exhibiting with our lives? We must be very intentional about this. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. A wise person will hold their tongue. I love what Calvin Coolidge said. He said, I have never been hurt by anything I did not say. And that's so true. If you don't say it, you're not going to get hurt by what you didn't say. And so I want to close this by pointing out a couple of things that maybe a couple of nuggets you could take with you and use in your own life and in mine as well. I mess up myself. Never say anything about someone that you would not say to their face. If you're not going to say it to their face, don't say it. Refuse to listen to gossip. And if you do listen to gossip, verify it first. Make sure it's true. I love Chuck Swindoll. He's a pastor and he's a speaker, and he's written many books that I've read over the years. Listen to what he writes. He writes, perhaps like me, you've received a phone call from someone who says, I want to tell you about so-and-so. And I'll say, wait a minute. May I quote you on that? There's usually a long pause, and then they say, well, I'm not sure that's such a good idea. Invariably, my answer would be, then I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. If you're not interested in putting your name on it, if you're not interested in being there when we confront this individual, I'm not interested in listening to what you have to say. Wow. Imagine that. I won't hear it. Remember the kids used to say, talk to the hand? So here's what I want to end with. Am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? Yes to both. Am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? And so we got to ask these questions. These are questions you ought to put on your refrigerator and the dashboard of your car. Is what I'm about to say true? Is what I'm about to say necessary? Is what I'm about to say helpful? Before I open my mouth, is it true? Is it even necessary? Even if it's true, is it necessary? And will it be helpful for what I'm about to say? Those are three questions that'll keep us out of trouble, friends. I'm telling you. If you could answer yes to all three of those questions, there's a pretty good chance it's okay to let those words fly. Because indeed, words are both destructive and creative. They have destructive power and they have creative power in the tongue. Here's the question I ask you this morning in closing. Which will you choose? To be destructive with our mouths? Or will we be creative and uplifting? God is watching. And so, Lord God, I just pray this morning for the husband that got the elbow in the ribs just a little while ago. But all kidding aside, Lord, if we've said things that have been hurtful, if we've been the recipient of words that have been damaging and painful, I ask for healing this morning on both sides of the equation. Maybe there's somebody we got to ask forgiveness for today, this week, and say, I'm sorry for what I said. It was wrong, and I hurt you, and I know it. Will you forgive me? But Lord, we will stumble in our lives. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us the tools to be compassionate and loving and caring and uplifting to our neighbors rather than destructive and tearing people down by the words we form. Especially as we begin soon on Wednesday this season of Lent. In Jesus' name, amen.